Marvin Lewis.
4 years, but you don't get quite the notoriety of some other teams. Is that the way you guys like it, just to play football, outside of Hard Knocks?
Well, I think obviously most coaches, if you ask them, you'd like to play every game at 1 o'clock, you know, and that way your schedule never changes and you're all that. So, and, you know, the notoriety of things really doesn't matter. There's only one team that ultimately gets the notoriety, and that's what we're pushing for.
Do you feel like you've been able to build your team with the draft and so on, with a good core of young players who are going to be with you for a while now?
Yeah, we really believed in that and continue to work hard at that. And I think you're kind of what you're seeing is an ability to develop their habits and so forth, and the mentors that you have here and around them. And so it's been good that way.
With Geno Atkins and Ndamukong Suh, how much are their games similar or dissimilar? Do you see some similarities in those two guys?
Well, I think Sue has really, he's a much bigger, you know, guy, stature-wise, than Geno. He's been an exceptional player, you know, from the day he came into the NFL. And, you know, Geno has been productive for us and continues to be productive. But, you know, and so both kids have had good starts to their career.
How'd you guys find Geno anyway? Fourth round, how'd you guys...
Well, we just felt like after Sue and the other kid that came out early, that we felt like Geno was the best interior rusher after those guys. And, you know, and he had such a motor. And really from the time, you know, we were, you know, sometimes the coaches' grades and the scout grades don't quite fit, match up the same, but we got to find and get him on the board the right spot. And so we kind of, you know, held our breath a little bit, and he lasted there. And then, we ended up having some guys that we really liked in that draft that lasted maybe a little longer than we felt like they would, and we were able to pick him when we picked him in the fourth round.
What, you know, it doesn't seem like anything's working against him, but what are teams, are they using the center more to double team him, or what's been happening?
Well, protection slides a lot one way or another, so that's just part of NFL football. It's been that way for years and years. The center just doesn't go back and sit there and not do anything.
Yeah, right. So, right.
You've got to work things to, you know, against that. And, you know, NFL has gotten, we've gotten so technical on defense now, trying to figure out protections and so forth, and which way the protection is and what's causing it to be that way or this way or that way. So,
a couple of elite receivers here, too. Could you compare Calvin and A.J. Green?
Well, I think Calvin has been a great mentor to A.J., and they're very close. And, you know, I think from what I've been talking with Jimmy a bunch about Calvin, they share very, very similar personalities. And so I think it's been great that the way Calvin carries himself as a pro and as a man is very similar to A.J., and so it's been a good mentor for him.
I read something you said, and this isn't a direct quote, but something about Andy Dalton, where he's really given you something at that position that you've been looking for. Could you just sort of explain a little bit what that is?
I don't think that. Yeah, I think Andy gives us what our quarterback does, and he's been efficient and productive. They ask a lot of him from the offensive point of view, as far as his control of the game. And I think he's done a great job of that.
Marvin, what is it that A.J. does that's maybe, I guess, a lot better than some of the other receivers in the league? Is there one thing that kind of stands out in that
way?
Well,
I think these guys are exceptional at tracking the football. And I think that makes the biggest difference about these, you know, when you talk about these guys you're talking about now that are at the top of the heap. You know, and also they're selfless as far as they can handle the game when they might only catch three passes, but the guy opposite them has seven or eight catches because coverage rolled their way, and they're able to go about their job just the same way each and every week, the same temperament. And they understand that you play a position that if they want to keep you from catching the football, they can by standing guys around you all day. But the other guys then are working one-on-ones, and they got to make it work, and then ultimately the team wins, and then sooner or later you'll get your opportunities.
You mentioned Schwartz. You guys obviously go back a long way. Can you share your best Jim Schwartz story from your time in Baltimore?
Jimmy is, I don't know stories, but obviously he means a lot to me. I owe him a lot. He's been a great, was a great coach with me, and just tremendous. I've had the same administrative assistant here for going on 14 years, and Jimmy hired her, and 14, 15 years. So everywhere around me, I owe it to Jimmy. So he's a good man and good coach, and I recognized that right away. And as I was taking the job, Ozzie Newsome recommended that I spend the time and interview Jimmy for the position, and that he hoped that I would feel good about keeping Jimmy because he thought he had a bright future. And I conveyed the same thing to Jeff Fisher and Greg Williams when we got fired in Baltimore, and Brian Billick wanted to hire my next defensive assistant, Mike Smith, and Jimmy was out of a job, and so I did the same thing with Jeff and Greg in order to convince them to give Jimmy an opportunity to interview with him in Tennessee, and then later they thanked me. So, he's top shelf. So this, I think he's done a great job, and obviously with me, he was tremendous.
How do you think he would react if we called him Jimmy?
Well, I don't know. When you work together like we did, you spend a lot of time, and when you come from the bottom like we did, you really grind together. You're that close.
Well, what did you see from him as an assistant coach?
He was bright. His work ethic. He understood football. He understood the ability to communicate with the players. He was a good on-the-field coach. He was a great off-the-field coach. He was a great tactical coach, and he was a detailed coach. So, he had it all, and he's been, very, very successful.
Coach, you're 8-2 against the NFC North in your career. Is there anything going into that, because you beat the Packers? I think you think you're 2-3-0 against them. And it's not just beating up.
I tell you, I gotta kill you.
Might be worth it.
Would you please?
That's not Hobson there, is it?
No.
Oh, I don't know. We just, try to play our style, and we've been fortunate, like you say, in this. But this is a new week. We're 0-1 on the road against the NFC this year. So we got to get going.
Hey, you were a linebacker back in your playing days and spent a lot of time around that group. What do you see from DeAndre Levy?
It's fun to watch a young guy and his progress he's made in the NFL. And he's both athletic, he's quick to the mark, and that's what you want to see from a guy. He's got the ability to shed, run to the football. He seems to understand the passing game, make plays in the passing game, and really can run and get after it.
And you also have some, pretty good set of coordinators over there. I don't know, do you expect to lose those guys at the end of the season, not to take them away?
Well,
from
I actually have four guys that, yeah. I think will get opportunity. Come on in, Carlos. I think through success breeds opportunity, and I hope to hell we have the success that allows, our coordinators to have opportunity to become head coaches if that's what they wish.
Can you talk specifically about Zimmer a little bit and what he's done with the defense?
Mike he's a very detailed coach, kind of soup to nuts guy. He and I go back a long, long ways, back to Weber State, Idaho State, and we've always talked a lot of football. And when I was looking for a coordinator and he was out of work, and we came in, and we come in here in this room, and 8 hours later we've got every board filled. We see things through the same eyes, so we're good that way. I can spend more time. I've learned what we do in and out on offense, and that's been good because Mike's given me that ability to do that because I trust his judgment and things, and I go in and out between both rooms, and if he has a question, he'll want to bounce something off me, or if I make suggestions and so forth. But I'm pretty much going to let him do it his way because that's what he believes in, and we share similar philosophies.
And how about the work Jay's done with Andy?
Jay's done an incredible job with Andy, but also just the implementing all of our young players. And to me, that's where we are in the NFL right now. You've got to be, as a coordinator, you've got to interject your young guys. We can't draft them and have them stand beside us. We got to get them in there, get them going, get them playing, and making them productive. And if it's 5 plays, 10 plays until they can handle the whole enchilada, that's what we got to do. And he's done a great job of that.
Just one other thing with young players. You know, teams have, you know, given up bundles of draft picks to get a quarterback. You just did the reverse process and were able to.
We held our breath.
Yeah, that's what I'm.
And we got the one we wanted.
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering. You know, when you get the when you're able to get picks and then get a quarterback, how valuable is that in team building as opposed to the other way around?
It is valuable because you know my boss was not willing to. He felt like we needed some other spots. He didn't want to give up the pick to move up to get Andy, and we just kind of just fell into him, lucked into it, and but. You know, we were fortunate, and but the quarterback position to me is so important. And Jimmy was lucky to inherit a good young guy. I can't remember when they drafted Matt. Maybe Matt came after with Jimmy the same year. But you know, I think if you're becoming a new head coach, if you don't have that position, man, you gotta hope that you got one coming out in college.
Thank you, Marvin.
All right, guys.